The story of John the Baptist begins earlier in the Gospel of Luke. John's father, Zechariah, was a priest serving the temple. One day, the angel Gabriel appears to him. He tells him his prayers have been answered for a son. His name, Gabriel says, will be John, which means Yahweh is gracious, or the Lord graciously gives. But Zechariah doubts the promise and power of God. And he asks him, Gabriel, how can I be? How can this be, since my wife and I are old and advanced in years? Gabriel says that he is a servant of God and he is here just to preach this good news to him. And because Zechariah did not believe the good news of John's birth, he was from that point unable to speak. He became mute. He could not speak for the entirety of the pregnancy of his wife Elizabeth. So I'm assuming at least 9 months. But God is not punishing Zechariah here. He's disciplining him. He's bringing him to repentance, which eventually he does. God takes away Zechariah's ability to speak in order to make him wiser, in order to make him more open to God. Just as wisdom says, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Zechariah should have known the story of Abraham and Sarah, how God graciously gave them a son, Isaac, in their old age, or as the scriptures put it bluntly, even though their bodies were as good as dead. There's something very believable about the story, something very human about it. Zechariah should have trusted God's word through Gabriel. And we also, like Zechariah, also have a hard time trusting God at his word. We fail to understand God's ways. We do not believe the potential we have to become the servants of God, just as God promised Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John. We doubt what God can do through us and in us. That is not wisdom. That is not even humility. God knows that we are flesh and blood. He knows our weakness. And this story reminds us that sometimes it's not all about us. It's not about you. It's not about me all the time. It's about the power of God at work in us and through us, as he promises. Like Zechariah, we question God's ways. Curiosity about God is good. Being teachable in spirit is excellent. To be open to what God is able to do and promises to do is good. But it is not for us to understand everything. Sometimes God calls us up, he calls us to trust in him. God knows better. His ways are often mysterious, but he is always good. As scripture says, it is God who is work in you, God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God's desire is to mold and shape Zechariah. His desire is to mold and shape you and me, to mold and shape John, who will be the greatest prophet that ever lived, to be faithful servants and discipline us if he must to get us there. God wants Elizabeth and Zechariah and John to all participate in God's plan and purposes. And so he graciously gives them a son, and whose name means Yahweh graciously gives. John will also be a servant of the Most High, preparing the way for his cousin Jesus, the true Messiah. John will have more moments of doubt and struggle, but God wants him to participate in his plan, and he wants us to also participate and prepare the way of the Lord, to be at work at those around us and to preach the good news. He wants us to grow as prophets and as those whose tongues have been loosed with humility, with wisdom, openness, joy, and service to him. God graciously gives us this opportunity to be stewards of the gospel and partners in the gospel ministry. We don't need to be a priest like Zechariah or a prophet like John to be useful in his kingdom, the story reminds us. We don't even need a visit from the angel. We may not think of ourselves as good enough or gifted enough to make a difference in the world or in the kingdom. But who would have thought that about this newborn, eight-day-old prophet John? This story reminds us that it is God who works through even small children, through the least of these, whom Jesus will call his brothers and sisters. Scripture says, God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God uses this couple, advanced in years, and then he will use a newborn baby to be the servant and prophet of the Most High. Full of the Holy Spirit from the womb, Scripture tells us, and even at his birth. The Song of Zechariah that we just heard read earlier, and we get to sing as our closing hymn this morning, is a celebration of what Zechariah learned through those months when he could not speak. We don't just pass on information about God, Zechariah learns. We experience Christ and the power of God, and we get to share it with others. Zechariah celebrates the birth of his own son, but immediately directs attention to John's cousin Jesus, the true Messiah, and says, he has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of David, his servant. He saves us and shows us mercy so that we may serve him without fear. God emboldens us. He frees our tongues to worship, to sing, and to tell others about him, just as Zechariah and John and Gabriel. God opens Zechariah's mouth and frees his tongue to speak about the coming of the relationship with God that we will have through the Messiah, and particularly through the forgiveness of sins, through baptism, through repentance, and belief that God forgives. God will open his son John's mouth and free his tongue as well, and will also point to that Messiah with those powerful words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We too will know the Savior and the forgiveness of sins and have a relationship with God as he promised. And so God wants to open your mouth. He wants to loosen your tongue and mine to free us to worship without fear, to sing, to tell the world and be his servants without fear, knowing that he has rescued us from our sin and will guide us into the way of peace, now and to all eternity. The Lord graciously gives, indeed, just as John's name reminds us. Many believe that this story and this prayer of Zechariah is what inspired St. Francis of Assisi to write this prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.